Got your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. We are going to participate in the Lord's Supper tonight. Not a whole lot different, but just a wee bit different tonight. Hoping to emphasize a couple of things. But I'd like to take you to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I want to read here just four verses tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And I want to read verse number 23 down through verse 26. And then we will pray and ask God to speak to our hearts from this. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Let's pray once again. Father, thank you tonight. We have this blessed opportunity to meet one with another. Thank you for the great time of prayer a few moments ago in the upper room of this church. Thank you for those who came and allowed you to move in their hearts. Now we're asking you, Lord, to meet with us again, to speak to us, oh God, tonight. Open our hearts to you. We do ask this in our Savior's blessed holy name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. In verse number 2, we find he speaks of an ordinance. We find from the Word of God there too what we would describe as ordinance for the church. And it is something that has been given by God to man. It's a command. Something God wants us to do. Some people call the matter of the Lord's Supper a sacrament. A sacrament, however, is a ordinance that is considered to be a channel of God's grace. In other words, a sacrament is something that you do to merit or to gain God's grace. But we know tonight that grace does not come by what we have done. Grace is simply a gift from God. It is not something that we deserve, or it would not be called grace. It would be called that which we earn. And so we're thankful tonight for the grace. Since grace isn't earned, it's something that's received. And salvation's by the grace of God, and so it's not earned, it's something that is received. And so we find here that we have a command that has brought us grace, and it is the death of God's substitute for man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, an ordinance is that which is instituted by the Lord. That which, as we study these things, we believe were practiced by the disciples, and then we had instructions for it in the epistles. And thus we find that there was something instituted by Christ, and we think of baptism. He was the first to be baptized in the sense of New Testament times. We find that it was practiced by the disciples, and we had instructions for that. We find that for the Lord's table. And two of these, I believe, are very peculiar, of course, to the local church of baptism and communion. There are others, but these are peculiar in the sense that they are, I believe, for the entire body of Christ. I want you to look with me tonight, beginning in verse number 23, and just observe a few things with me. And reading verse 23 once again says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." As we read and study the Gospels, we find after they had dipped the sop, that Judas immediately leaves. We find that those who were present at the time of the giving of this particular ordinance, at the time that the Lord Jesus practiced this with disciples, it was with those who were saved. It was with those who knew the Lord Jesus Christ, no pretenders now amongst them. In the midst of betrayal and brutality, He is giving them a reminder of why He came to this world. As He shows even before His death on the cross what is about to happen. And thus for you and I, as we look back to the cross, what did take place? Are you not thankful tonight for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you not thankful for what He did for you as He died there and as He bled there and gave Himself that you and I might be saved? Verse 24, He goes on, when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of Me. There are some who will look at that verse and they say, well, this means that because this is His body, that as we eat of that bread that we will eat of tonight, that it has literally become His body. There's a doctrine amongst the Roman Catholic Church that simply is the doctrine of transubstantiation. They believe that when it comes time for this particular action to take place within the church, that bread literally becomes His body. But I might remind you tonight, I'm not a cannibal. I'm not eating His actual body. And He is not referring to that as being His actual body. Matter of fact, when He said, take, eat, this is My body, He was standing there in His body, was He not? That bread had not been turned into His body. And so it has some symbolic significance to you and to me. He is about to face the greatest trial that any man has ever faced. And yet, as we read the first stanza, first portion of that verse, it says that He had given thanks. He is thankful. How like our Lord as He's facing crucifixion to give thanks. And I believe that we can give a dual meaning to His body here, and we'll refer to that in just a few moments. But as I look at that bread, I think first of all of His literal body that was broken for you and for me. We understand tonight that not a bone of His body was broken. The bones we find are the structure. We find that the bones are the foundation of the body. And that foundation cannot be broken. But the body itself was broken. We find it was pierced through. It was broken. We find that they implanted upon His head the crown of thorns. We find they took the whip, probably of cat o' nine tails, and whipped Him horrendously. Probably till His back was so raw that when He hung upon the cross of Calvary, there was no longer any skin there, but just open wounds against that old rugged cross. His body that hung there and was broken and bleeding for you and for me. I don't believe tonight that Jesus had to die a cruel death in order to save us from sin. He just had to be separated from our Heavenly Father. But that we might know and recognize that our separation, His separation, was so cruel and so horrible, He even endured that which was physical. What's still amazing to me, and I mentioned this morning, is that Jesus did not die from those wounds. Jesus was not martyred. He was not killed. Because still, after all the agony and all that He endured upon the cross of Calvary, my Bible still says He gave up the ghost. He willingly laid down His life. He endured all of those things for you and for me, perhaps to suggest to us that the cruelest and the most horrible of sinners can be saved from their sin. I think there's also a figurative meaning to the breaking of the bread. He says this was broken for you. And as we take that bread and we break it, and I think about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ today has been broken for us into local churches. Now personally, I do not believe in what some people call the universal church. Now I do believe that there is one day going to be a church called out, but I believe in the local church. And the Lord Jesus Christ broke that into many segments for you and for me, that we might have a place to come together one with another. And so it was broken that we might have our local church be one with another, that we might have that wonderful fellowship one with another. What's interesting is we come to this time of remembrance, and it was broken for you and for me, and it might be that which is within the local church context. He speaks of that we ought not to drink of it unworthily. As I mentioned during prayer meeting this afternoon, there is not a person here that is worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. There's not one of us worthy of anything. It's all by grace. The word here is not that which is a description or an adjective. But we find that it's an adverb. We find here that it's speaking of how it is done, speaking of when it's done, and even where it's done. That's what an adverb does. You see, it's good for us to learn the English language when we don't understand the Bible. In fact, I believe God wants us to, that we might understand what He's trying to teach us. And so as we come, we find this adverb, unworthily. It's talking about these things. And when we look at the context and we read, though we did not read them tonight, when we read the context, especially the verses that precede what we saw here this evening, we find that this church at Corinth was a church that was divided. We find it was a church that was not really getting along that well. They were not in unity. And so I believe, first of all, what the Lord is wanting them to understand is, if they are going to do this in a worthily type of a manner, it must be that which is in unity. That which is in love one with another. Do we realize and recognize tonight that it is our love one for another becomes the great instrument that God uses to testify to a dying world? Do we not know tonight that the world, they laugh and mock at us when we are divided in ourselves? Do we not understand that this evening? And yet we find that so often is the case. And so as we come together to sit at the Lord's table, it must be in this worthily manner whereby we are at one with another. I have been in such services where we took great amounts of time, and we've done it in our own church, where we ask God to forgive us of all of our sin. And that's a great idea. We need to do that on a daily basis, do we not? But I believe the greatest thing that we can do as we come to the table of God, that we might meet this standard of worthily, would be to allow our spirit to be joined with the spirit of every other person amongst us. He goes on and says, after the same manner, in verse number 25, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Not only was there a broken body, but we find that there was blood that was poured out. I heard a guy one time say, the blood that fell from the cross is on the ground. I dare to differ with he. I believe it's in the Holy of Holies of glory. I believe it was that which the Lord Jesus Christ transported Himself to be placed at the altar of God that is described so beautifully in Scripture. That blood which atones for our sin. That blood which represents the life of the flesh. That blood which, and when it is shed and it is gone, is saying to all around about, dead, and our Savior died for you and for me. It says, after the same manner, one's broken, the other is poured out. For each one of them have their physical part in this thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did. And it's interesting, he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. When you go to the book of Hebrews, we find that it teaches us that a testament is only good after the death of the testator. And so as we find these testaments, as we find these covenants that God made with mankind, we find them sealed with blood. And as they're sealed with blood, it's sealed with the very object of the problem of our sin, and that is that we deserve to die for our sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave His life that you and I might have this covenant with an everlasting God. And by the way, I'm so glad for a New Testament, because the Old Testament, the old covenant that God had, said that I must be perfect in order to receive it. And I am not. This New Testament, this new covenant, is not a matter of my perfectness or perfectness. It's a matter of His. Is that not a wonderful thought? And so we come upon the basis of our Savior. In verse 26, he says, For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The time is as often as. Different people have different ideas. Some people believe that every time a church gets together, they ought to do so, and that's very fine. I have no problem with that at all. Often in recent weeks and months, I thought maybe we ought to do so more often. Throughout the years, it's been my leadership of this church feeling that we make it a little more special and we understand a little bit more what we're doing if it does not become too commonplace. I fear when we get into ruts, if you please. You all understand what a rut is, a grave with both ends knocked out. It's a place that we ought not be. And yet oftentimes we get there. And so tonight I trust as we come, in this time as often is, it might be a great time of remembrance. Remembrance gives us repeated testimony to what His actions were for us. What He did for us upon the cross of Calvary. It isn't to cause us, it isn't to cease until He comes. Not only is it looking back, but it's looking ahead. Because He tells us that we are to do this until He comes. He is coming again. He is coming to receive us unto Himself. I believe the history paves the road of the future. What He has done for us in coming, as given to us by Holy Scripture, is only proof that what He is going to yet do that is also given to us by Holy Scripture. And thus you and I have the wonderful privilege to come to the table of God. Amen. And to participate in this time one with another.